The Trend Reporter is a production of iHeartRadio.
Hi, I'm journalist and style obsessive Mara Schiavocampo. Today on The Trend Reporter, a very special conversation with the original trendsetter herself, Paris Hilton. The world's first social media star opens up about turning 40, including her biggest beauty secret.
I've been doing it my whole life, and it really does work.
Plus, how her YouTube documentary, This Is Paris, and her advocacy work are having a huge impact.
And I just started realizing just how important it would be to use my voice to help others.
And major personal news, guys, like major.
I really do believe that having a family and having children is the meaning of life.
We're bringing you everything you want to know about one of our favorite style icons. It's so good to talk to you.
Oh, heard so much about you from Carter.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. Well, I should preface this by saying, I feel like I grew up with you. We don't know each other. We've never met. This is our first conversation, but we're the same age. And so like everything you were going through as a teenager, like I was reading, you know, the tabloids and the blogs. I watched The Simple Life. I was obsessed with The Simple Life. I've seen, you know, your evolution as a businesswoman and a DJ. And so when the documentary came out, I was really into it. And I'm looking at some of the press and I see Carter and I'm like, wait a minute. I'm like, I know Carter. I'm like, is Carter dating Paris Hilton? He's such a great guy.
The best. I'm so grateful to have just connected with him again after knowing each other for so long. I just felt like it was the perfect time in my life to just have real love and finally be able to open my heart in such a way. And he's just my dream guy.
How did that happen? How did you guys reconnect again?
Well, we've known each other for 15 years, and my mom and I are close with his sister, Hallie. So she invited us for Thanksgiving in the Hamptons. So we went over for lunch and Carter was there and we just started talking and he got my phone number and we were flirting all day. And then we went back for dinner that night. And I just saw how sweet he was with his mom and we were talking more and I just felt like this really amazing connection. And then we had our first kiss and then our first date the next like 2 nights later. And then we've literally been inseparable ever since.
So how long has that been?
It's been like 15 months.
I first met him when I was working on my book. It was a weight loss memoir because I lost 90 pounds after I had my daughter. And so he was connecting me with some potential like wellness partners to sponsor certain book buys. And just a really, really helpful, great person and a really smart investor. Like he told me about Postmates in 2014 when like nobody had heard of Postmates. I'm like, what do they do again? He's like, they bring you stuff. And I'm like, okay. So you are very much a businesswoman yourself. Is that part of the appeal? Is he the Jay-Z to your Beyonce?
I feel like I do definitely feel the power couple vibes. This is my first time dating a businessman. And I think it's so sexy. I just find just him so brilliant. And I learn so much from him. And he's like a business mentor to me. And being a businesswoman and being so busy, it's so inspirational to be with a man who is on my level and who understands that I have to work, he has to work, we support each other, and I've never had that before. So it's a pretty incredible feeling, and I just feel like everything, like we were really meant to be. Like I feel like my grandmother is up in heaven and like made this plan for him to come and save me.
You feel like your ancestors are cheering this relationship on.
Yes. I really believe that.
So, I mean, it sounds like he's the one.
100%, definitely.
Wow. So are you planning a wedding?
We talk about it all the time and just planning our baby's names and all of that. So I'm really excited just to move on for the next step of my life and finally just have like a real life. Because I really do believe that having a family and having children is the meaning of life. And I haven't got to experience that yet because I don't feel that anyone really deserved that love for me. And now I finally found the person who does. So I cannot wait for that next step.
And that was something you talked about in the documentary with your sister. First of all, the relationship between you two, is she always the one that's giving you like that tough love, like pouring some icy water on your vibe?
Yes. She's always like, she's my little sister, but I've always looked up to her as my big sister. She's always been so protective of me. She's always been very bossy. She's just, that's how she is. And I love that because there's so many yes people in my life. And Nikki just says it how it is always, even if, you know, it's not going to make me happy, she will still say it because it's the truth. So I really am happy and grateful to have a sister like that, because she's my best friend and someone I just look up to and respect so much.
In the documentary, we see her with her children and we see you with her children, which is really sweet. What do they call you? Do they call you Auntie Paris?
Yes. Uncle Carter and Auntie Paris. Every time ever on FaceTime or they come over, they just always want to be with him and like do their dance parties together. And he's just so cute. Like, I know he's going to be the best dad.
So have you thought about how many kids you might want?
We want to have twins first. And then I don't know, like either three or four children.
Kim Kardashian did the surrogacy. You know, she carried two. She did surrogacy with two. Is that something that you think about? Because you say you want twins. It's kind of hard to plan that.
we have been doing the IVF, so I can pick twins if I like.
And wow.
So Kim is actually the one who told me about that. I didn't even know anything about it. And I'm happy that she told me that advice and introduced me to her doctor. So yeah, we have them all ready to go.
So you've already done the egg extraction and everything?
Yeah.
How was that? Because I know that can be very, very difficult physically and emotionally.
It was tough, but I knew it'd be worth it. I did it a couple times, and just doing it together and having a partner that is just so supportive and always makes me feel just like a princess all the time. And was just so like caring and just amazing with me that it wasn't that bad.
So what made you want to go that route?
I think it's just something that most women should do, just to have. And then you can pick if you want boys or girls. Just because I really want to have twins that are a boy and a girl. So the only way to 100% get that is by, you know, making it happen that way.
So you are turning 40 this year. Happy early birthday.
Yeah.
I mean, you look the same today as you did in like 2000. Mm-hmm. Do you have any anti-aging secrets that you can share with the rest of us so we can be frozen in time too? Because you look amazing.
Thank you so much. I look the same because I've never done anything. I feel so proud. I'm 100% natural. I've never had Botox. I've never done a filler. I've never had any plastic surgery whatsoever. And one piece of advice my mom told me since I was like 7 years old is to always stay out of the sun. And that's something that's so important to follow, because I saw all my friends and they would always be, you know, putting on the oil and laying out. And now all of them are just like, Paris, like, I wish I would have listened to your mom too, because your skin is perfect. So that, and I'm obsessed with just going to the facialist, and I've bought all these like laser lights and red light and this NeuroTrist system. It's like kind of like microcurrent. So I'm all about being preventative and really having like this intense skincare routine, which I follow like day and night. And that's just something I've done as well since I'm a little girl. My mom just really taught me the importance of taking care of your skin. And since I'm 8, literally been like doing eye creams and serums and all of that. So I've been doing it my whole life and it really does work.
So what is the routine?
Always making sure to wash off your makeup, obviously. And in the morning, doing that, using cleansers, then using just like different serums. I use different ones all the time because I think it's good to kind of switch it up. And face masks, eye masks, the decolletage masks, and then laying under the light stim, which is this red light. So I'll do that in the morning with the face mask on and do my calls. And then I have this machine called a NeuroTrist system, which is these wands. And you basically just kind of use the wands on your face for like 10 minutes. And then just a lot of eye creams and do the same
thing. So I've seen this mask, and I actually think you used it in the documentary. It's like an LED mask.
Yeah.
Is that part?
That's one of them too.
Is that the red light?
That has.
Is the red light in that too?
It has both.
So what does the red light do?
The red light is for building collagen and for anti-aging. So any fine lines, anything, it just makes it so you don't get that. It's preventative. And then blue light is just for like if someone gets acne or just anything that's like impurities in your skin, it gets rid of those.
Got it. Are you planning any big celebrations for your 40th? I mean, we're all kind of restricted because of COVID.
Yeah, Carter and I are planning birthdays together, just like we did last year, since we're both Aquarius and we're both February. So we're going to do some joint birthdays this year. Obviously not like last year because of what's happening in the world, but something that's COVID safe and small and intimate.
How old is he turning?
40.
Oh, my gosh. So the two milestones together. That'll be fun. How have you been spending quarantine? Has it been kind of a bummer to have to be home all the time, or do you appreciate the opportunity to slow down a little bit? Because you travel, I mean, it looks like you're always on a plane.
Yeah, I used to travel, you know, the past two decades for over 250 days out of the year. So it was definitely a lot. So I'm so grateful just to be so happy in my relationship, because, you know, I can't imagine being single, you know, having to go through this time alone. So I've actually just been just grateful to have all this time at home together, because, you know, usually we would never have had this much time. I would have to be traveling in a different country every single day. So it's been just, you know, I try to see the silver lining and everything. And that is that I've had to pause and be in one place and just been at home and cooking together and working and enjoying time. And it's just been amazing.
But it's also the sign of a really strong relationship. Like, if you can survive this, you can survive anything.
Yeah, I agree with that. A lot of couples break up or get extremely close. So you're right. If you could make it through this, you can make it through anything. So it's a very good sign.
You know, we see a lot of your life on social media, but I don't know if people fully realize that you are the OG social media star. Like, not one of, but the original social media star. You invented the selfie. Do you think people realize that?
I think if they watch the documentary, they will. Or if they lived through it, they will.
But you were taking selfies when you couldn't even see. You were taking blind selfies.
Yeah, I was. Even with, like, disposable cameras. Yeah.
What made you think to do that?
I didn't call it a selfie, but I just kind of was like, wanted to take a photo of myself. Yeah. Back when I was a teenager and I moved to New York, I had, you know, I was an influencer before there even was, like, a word for it. And I didn't have a stylist. I didn't have an agent. I had no publicist, no manager, no one. It was just me just living my life. And, it's amazing to see that now that's like a lifestyle and a job for most people who are in this.
How do you feel that you really spawned, like, this whole change in media, this whole change in how we consume media, and also lots and lots of careers, lots of these, you know, micro businesses? I mean, when you look at the life and the business of influencers, they're running small businesses. And that really, truly came from you and the paparazzi craze around you. You birthed a whole industry. Do you ever sit back and think, like, wow?
I feel very proud. And just even when I talk to my friends who are influencers, they always say to me, like, thank you so much. You're the reason I do what I do. Like, you're the OG. And they call me, like, the godmother. And just it makes me feel happy, because when I was a teenager and started in the industry, it was so, you know, what I was doing was just so new and so unheard of that people just didn't understand. So now I can, it's just like a good feeling. Like, I was always right. And I think being an Aquarius, I've always been just like ahead of my time and always went like a couple steps ahead and like always looking into the future.
Can we play a fun game? I'm calling it hot or not, because that's hot. That was your thing. So these are things that either should stay in 2000s, the early 2000s, or we would love to see them make a comeback. Velour sweatsuits, hot or not?
Hot. I'm obsessed with couture.
Oh, that was on my list too. So I guess they kind of go hand in hand, but I will ask separately. Juicy couture.
Hot. Michael.
Hot. Okay. Mm. Trucker hats.
Not. Depends. Not on Dutch, but other ones, yes.
Okay. I'm kind of on the fence. I want to bring it back, but I don't want to look like that lame mom. Like, I'm like, is it cool again? Low-rise jeans.
Ugh. I'm like torn because I love them, but I think not.
You've always had the shape for low-rise, but, like, they hit a lot of women at the least flattering part on your entire body. It's like impossible to avoid a muffin top. So I'm with you on that. Not. Striped hair, those big chunky highlights.
Not.
Okay. Frosted lip gloss.
Not.
Okay. Lace-up jeans.
Hot.
Okay. Halter tops.
I'm like thinking semi-leg. I guess not.
Okay. Do you have a favorite look from that era? Was there one red carpet, one appearance where you're like, I loved that?
Yes. Julianne McDonald for my 21st birthday made me this iconic dress that I've seen so many people recreate. It's like all like Swarovski crystals, and I'm like obsessed with that dress. And he's actually making me another one, like the new 2021 version of it for my birthday this year. So I can't wait.
Oh, I love that. And speaking of the velour sweatsuit, so you did the Skims campaign with Kim Kardashian. How did it feel to be reunited, like wearing velour sweatsuits, like carrying the huge pocketbooks? That must have been a fun shoot.
We're just hanging out, just a fun day, me and Paris. I'm so grateful that I had you as like a mentor or someone, you know, just to have that as my example.
Thank you. We had so much fun, just like talking about the memories of just us, like our Louis Vuitton bags and always wearing our juicy velour. And she's amazing. I thought that was just so much fun to be together. And those pictures were just iconic.
You guys have had a really long friendship. When did you all first become friends?
We've known each other our whole lives since we're little girls, because our moms were friends even before we were born. So we've grown up together.
What do you think of her advocacy work with prison justice reform?
I'm so proud of her. I think it's incredible that she's using her voice and her platform to help people. And she's really serious about it. And, you know, for someone to go and just study and do the bar exam and all of that, it's just, I think it's amazing. She's brilliant.
Do you think she'll ever run for public office?
I think maybe. I think she would win.
She clearly knows how to get her message heard. So I'd love to talk about the documentary a little bit, which I really loved because I genuinely felt like I was getting a chance to know you, someone who's been in the public eye for decades, but to really, for the first time, see the person behind the persona. What made you want to be so revealing?
It was actually never supposed to be the premise of the film. The original premise of what I wanted to do was to show the businesswoman I am, what I've created, I've accomplished, and just to, I just feel like there's so many misconceptions about me and people have never really known the true me. So I wanted to show that side. And then I just became so close with the director, and it was about 7 months into filming and we were in Korea, and I was on this press tour for my skincare line and was just completely just exhausted, like emotionally, physically. And that's when I was having some severe nightmares, and I revealed to the director about what had happened to me. And I told her, you know, turn the camera off. I don't want to talk about this. This is not part of my story. Do not put this in the film. I've never told anyone. And she just kept pushing me every single day. And I kept refusing and saying, no, I don't want the world to know this. I can't have people know this. I've never told anyone. And she eventually, after just pushing me every single day for like a month or two, and then finally, I just agreed with her. And then she connected with the other girls from my school, and we started talking. And then I just started realizing just how important it would be to use my voice to help others. And, you know, even though it was hard to talk about, I'm so grateful I did, because it started this whole movement.
Why hadn't you wanted to talk about it? Was it just too traumatic to revisit?
When I was a teenager, just going there was just so traumatic, just every day for 2 years, being like verbally, emotionally, psychologically, and physically abused. And just things that were happening to me that were just like unimaginable, where when I left there finally, I made a promise to myself that I was never going to tell anyone about it and that I would never discuss it again and just act like it didn't happen. So I just tried to bury it and just, you know, project this perfect life. And that's kind of why I built that, you know, this fantasy character of this kind of, oh, everything's perfect in my life. I was just not who I was at all, but it was like this mask or shield to kind of hide the pain of what I had went through.
Well, how did it feel then to have that come out? I mean, it must have felt incredibly vulnerable.
It was, because I'd never been so real in my entire life. So to finally talk about all of that was hard, but then it's been so healing. I'm just grateful that I did, because I now feel like healed from it almost, and I'm healing others and my nightmares have stopped. So it's just been just a huge weight off my shoulders, and I'm just grateful that I could now talk about it and help others with that, my story.
And I think it does really help others to see you heal through that vulnerability. You know, the truth will set you free. And it really is a prison that we create, you know, and then when you are able to be vulnerable and transparent, it frees us.
It's so true. Because I've always heard like the truth shall set you free. And now I know that that actually is a real thing. And it's so empowering.
Another thing that you talked about in the documentary was, you know, the leaking of your sex tape. And now we're seeing it in a post-Me Too world, through a post-Me Too lens, where we can see that this was an 18-year-old girl who was horribly exploited in front of the whole world. But at the time, it was perceived very differently. How has the response been now that the narrative has changed completely to really the just narrative that women should not be sexually exploited by having their imagery shared non-consensually?
You know, going through that, you know, especially after going through such traumatic experiences and then to have met, you know, the worst possible person, and then for that to come out and for the whole world to be, you know, watching it and laughing at me and almost like I was the villain in the whole situation, was so painful. And now it's just a completely different story. If that would have happened today, like it would be completely different than what I had to experience. So I'm so happy that at least the world has changed. And if that would happen to a woman now, that people wouldn't vilify them or make them feel bad or treat them the way I was treated, because it just was so wrong and so just painful to have gone through something like that, especially, you know, being a teenager.
And now, fortunately, a lot of the laws have caught up too. You know, revenge porn is illegal. That wasn't even a thing. You've now taken those experiences and have started using them to help others. Tell me about your work with Breaking Code Silence, an advocacy group focusing on facilities like the boarding school that you went to.
I'm so proud of what we're doing. We just actually did a whole panel today with the American Bar Association, and we got accepted into the RISE Justice Social Program, which is now going to push legislation to reform and change just all of the laws that have to do with these schools and shutting them down, and to stop the abuse that's happening in the troubled teen industry. So it's just been just incredible to have really used my voice and my platform, and it's saving so many children. And a lot of children have been pulled out of the school that I was at and other places like it. So just to see it make such a difference, it's just such an incredible feeling.
It feels like the parents are well-intentioned. They just don't know what's happening. Is that a fair characterization?
The parents have no idea. These schools manipulate the parents just as much as they manipulate the children. And it's so wrong and so disgusting the way these people are, that they're profiting off the abuse of children. And it's been happening for so many years, and there's, you know, hundreds of thousands of children in these places every single year, and nobody talks about it. And now people are finally talking about it, and people are finally being believed and validated for what they've went through. And you know, I just feel so proud to have been a huge part of that.
Have you heard from any of the teens, any of the kids that have been rescued, so to speak, from those facilities because of the work that you're doing?
Yes, I've spoken to senators, I've spoken to other people who've said because of my film that there's been more change, like even in the first 30 days of my film, than there has been in 15 years of them trying to fight for them. And other kids being pulled out because their parents saw it. And then I spoke to another girl a couple days ago. She just got pulled out of there last month. And she said that all of the kids in there, she's like, everyone's talking about you and saying Paris is our hero and giving them hope that they're going to be saved from there. And I just know that, you know, me being a teenager would be so proud of the woman that I've become today.
You also did a new song, and you're all the proceeds from the song are going to the Breaking Code Silence.
It's called I Blame You. Yeah, I've been in the studio a lot during quarantine, especially, and producing and writing and singing. So I have some new music coming out, and one coming out on Valentine's Day, too.
With you too, your evolution, I mean, you're a hugely successful businesswoman. You're now doing all this advocacy work. Will you ever consider a run for office?
I would much rather focus just on being a mom. I've like given my life to the public for more than half of my life. I feel like now it's time to have a real life and a family and just be there for my kids.
Oh, I love to hear that. Okay, before we go, Paris has a gift for you guys. She's giving one of our listeners a bottle of her new fragrance, Electrify. This is her 25th fragrance. It is described as an intoxicating blend of scarlet apple, spring peony, and Turkish rose. To enter, leave a 5-star review on Apple for this podcast, and you have to include a couple things in the review: the word Paris and your Instagram username so we can reach you if you win. 5-star Apple review, the word Paris so we know what giveaway you're entering for, and your Instagram handle so we can reach you. Paris, this was so much fun. Thank you for making the time.
Thank you so much, and I can't wait to meet you in real life.
Yes, likewise. And give my best to Carter. Hey guys, thanks for listening. I want to know what trends you have questions about. So hit me up on Instagram. I'm at Mara S. Combo. You can also check out the Trend Reporter on YouTube, covering all of the newest trends, including tutorials on everything from food to beauty. That's youtube.com/MaraEsCompo. The Trend Reporter is a production of iHeartRadio. For more shows from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.